Representative Mark Cardenas, a Democrat from Phoenix, has introduced legislation to legalize recreational marijuana in Arizona a number of times. It's never passed, but now he's introduced it again, and this time with some bipartisan support.
Cardenas and Tucson Republican Todd Claude Felter have introduced a new bill that would give voters another chance to weigh in on legalization. The proposal allows those 21 and older to possess an ounce of marijuana and grow up to 6 plants. It bans smoking in public, and it allows cities and towns to bar marijuana business. If it passes, the issue would be on November's ballot for voters to decide. Now, Arizona voters narrowly rejected a legalization effort in 2016. That was a citizen initiative. But Cardenas and Claude Felter say if voters are going to eventually pass this anyway, which they think they will, they'd rather it start in the legislature. That way they can help write a fully vetted law as opposed to a potentially poorly crafted initiative. I spoke with Jessica Birchmore about this strategy. She's a professor of law who specializes in marijuana law at ASU Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law.
I think the idea here is severalfold. One, to have a Republican co-signer to the bill to get a little bit of bipartisan support might make other Republicans in the House and the Senate a little bit more excited about looking at marijuana legalization. So that's one part of it. I think the other part is the problems that we saw stemming from the rejected legalization effort in 2016, which is a poorly drafted bill that would have saddled us with sort of an unusual form of marijuana legalization, including not allowing sort of a free market to dole out the licenses. And I think that voters were really scared away from that. If it's introduced by the legislators, then they can have legislative lawyers write the bill, and there are going to be fewer problems with the bill, and therefore there will be fewer problems sort of going forward with it, particularly because of the Voter Protection Act.
Right, right. So what were the problems with the initiative language in 2016, you think?
I think that the main problem with the initiative from 2016 was really about sort of serving only the interests of the current business owners. There are about 120 or 130 current medical marijuana dispensaries. Those licensees would have received the first option to get licenses for full legalization dispensaries. That would leave only 20 or so that were open to sort of free market bidding. And I think that that scared people away, that there wouldn't be enough open market.
So I want to talk about this a little more broadly. So the citizen initiative to legalize marijuana recreationally here in Arizona sort of narrowly failed last time. And the Republican representative, Claude Felter here, who is introducing this bipartisan legislation, says he believes that marijuana legalization is an eventuality in Arizona and across the country. Is that something you would agree with, having watched the progression of this throughout the country?
I think we're hitting the trend toward full legalization with the slight caveat that I'm unsure of what we're going to do with the federal government. Mm-hmm. So we started the medical marijuana legalization trend in 1996 when California became the first to legalize medical marijuana. Since then, we now have about 30 states that have legalized marijuana in some form, so that would be medical or recreational. And I believe at current count, we have 8 states, including the District of Columbia, that have full legalization. Clearly, the trend is toward legalization, and clearly it's on the uptick, too. For the first 10 years or so after California legalized medical marijuana, it was a pretty slow tick up as other states slowly joined. Since 2012, when Oregon and Washington fully legalized marijuana, been very rapid paced since then.
Yeah. But of course, the federal government maintains this as a Schedule I drug that's illegal. How do those state and federal laws conflict, especially if we were to legalize recreational marijuana here?
So one interesting thing that legal scholars like to point out is that the federal prohibition on marijuana, including sales and possession, does not actually conflict with state laws allowing it, because no state law requires you to possess it or to sell it. Hmm. And so in that way, if the state law is just sort of laid dormant, of course, there's no actual conflict. That's clearly not what states enacted these laws for or what people want them for, right? I mean,
yeah.
They want to be able to purchase and use marijuana. So there is clearly a conflict here. The way it works in practice is that, of course, the federal government, federal prosecutors, U.S. attorneys could go after individual users or marijuana dispensaries. But most drug crimes are prosecuted by state entities. So if your state has legalized marijuana, then it's not going to use its resources to come after you. You only have that slight worry that if the federal prosecutor comes after you, but again, it's a very small percentage of federal drug crimes, especially in the current era. This has become complicated in the past month or so because Attorney General Jeff Sessions just repealed the Obama-era memoranda that had sort of said that the federal government would take a hands-off approach. So as long as you were following your state law, as long as you weren't selling to kids or, you know, giving it to kids, then you were just fine. Well, that has been repealed, and in its place, he just says that federal prosecutors should use their normal prosecutorial discretion in determining which laws they want to enforce. That could mean they want to enforce marijuana laws, but I have to tell you, I think it's, given the other crimes out there, I think it's fairly low risk if you're just a regular user.
Okay. Jessica Birch is a professor of law at the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law at ASU, and she specializes in these legal issues surrounding marijuana. Jessica, thanks so much for joining us to talk about this.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
I also caught up with Representative Cardenas at the state capitol yesterday to talk more about the language in this bill and why he thinks it's important for marijuana to be legalized this way.
So the reason why we wrote the particular language that way is that we looked at other states, and because there's been a few other states that have gone through this that have kind of been the test subject, you can figure out what's right and what's wrong, and you have the unique opportunity to pick and choose what you like. One of the concerns that other states have had is a lack of employer protections. You know, if I may, you know, if I run a warehouse, right, I shouldn't let someone use marijuana and then show up and start driving a forklift or maybe driving a backhoe. And so that language came from, you know, the lack of protections from Colorado, making sure that it exists under the current DUI law. Also, the too high levels of taxation in Colorado. We generally stuck with Alaska as a base for what they worked with and then kind of filled in the rest based on lessons learned from other states. And so that was what created the framework for the bill that we're working with today.
You mentioned Colorado. Are there examples of the way that law was written that you want to avoid here in particular?
Specifically, the workplace protections, but there was something that Colorado has that we actually thought was good. Colorado has the municipality opt-out, so cities would take a vote in order to have it, you know, regulated within the confines of their municipality, or send it to the voters of their city and opt out. We take that same stance here, Mr. Claude Filter and I, where we thought that if a city doesn't want the revenue, then fine. You know, we want to allow for that local control because there's certain rights within the state constitution that give them the right to do that.
Okay. And you've tried to put forth a bill like this many times in the past.
Correct.
What do you think is different about this one? Why do you think this might get somewhere?
The previous times I've ran this bill, it was kind of the overall theme of legalization, right? I spent some time on looking at the framework and just throwing it out there. It was very, very, it kind of skimmed the surface of what needed to happen in order for a legalized recreational cannabis dispensary to open its doors. This one, I had to sit down and put some serious thought into it, put some serious research and work with a lot of staff members and a lot of stakeholders within the community as to how do we want to see this. Let's just say if it passes tomorrow, what's next? And so we had to come up with what's next and what comes after that until they actually open their doors. And so this provides a decent framework for it to actually happen in Arizona this time.
Okay. Do you think having a bipartisan effort, at least in the introduction of this, will make any difference?
This is the first state that's ever happened. And just remember, it was 2012 when I was the first lawmaker to say I support legalization. I thought I was going to lose my reelection after that. It's been a very short amount of time when Democrats were willing to be out about it, and now we're seeing that in my humble opinion, I see it as inevitable. Society's moving in that direction, and so I think that many Republicans that have been, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, I don't have a problem with if it's on the board, I'm going to vote yes, but I can't co-sponsor your bill right now. And now it's just, people are just seeing it as it's going to happen. If we don't come here and do what the voters sent us to do, they're going to do it themselves in 2020, and lawmakers are going to have no say. This is our opportunity to say, well, you sent us here to do a job. The polls suggest, data suggests that the majority of Arizonans are in support of legalization, so let's just have the conversations and make it happen. I've been very out about my stance on legalization and recreational cannabis, and the voters saw fit to send me back. So that's, to me, that's a mandate to make it happen.
Representative Mark Cardenas, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for the time.